I'm going to start teaching a sort of a basics on Thursday nights at the office, I think. So, Glenn Evans and his son Carter and Mike Lewis and Alana and Paul all want to start coming to Bible study, and so.
Lewis?
Anyhow, so I don't care. Anybody can come.
You don't say anything.
Romans 13. So I'm going to start tomorrow.
Lord willing, in the creek down
there. Yeah.
What time are we?
7:30.
Is this in addition to our normal Bible studies on Thursday, or well, in place of that, or what?
No, the Buckners don't meet on Thursday.
The Rutledges do.
Our group isn't allowed to go to always Bible study.
Yeah.
Well, because you're not that remedial.
No, but if something happens where you're not can't make it, or Troy Santa is doing the AFS stuff, then
yeah.
All right. Romans 13. One of the words, we didn't study really the words here very carefully, so we just talked about it. And verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Far spent is an interesting word. It means something that's lengthened. It's prokopto, and it means, it's used like if I were making a sword and I heated it real hot and I beat the sword to extend it. That's what it means, far spent. That's the word that's used. And to me, it clearly implies the long suffering that Christ is enduring because of our rebellion. It is really a wild word.
Is that like temperate?
Yeah, but it literally means lengthened by hammering and heating iron. That's what the word is used for in the Greek language. So when
lengthen it so much.
Huh? Yeah. So in 2 Peter, where it says we account the long suffering as salvation, well, that long suffering is this day. Now it gets even better. The night is far spent, the day. Now, when an article is used in the Greek language, the day, it means the uniqueness of the day. And it means the day of God, the day, the judgment day, the last day is at hand. And at hand doesn't mean it's going to come some, it's here. Can you hear that? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's here now. Let's go to Mark 1 real quick. Or real slow, I don't care. This is the first red words in Mark, the first words that Jesus says. Mark 1. I'm waiting for Jeff.
No, I haven't
thought of it yet.
Mark 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled." I don't know how clear, much more clear he could have said it. And it's Kairos. The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is here, at where it says at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So, Jesus saying the time is fulfilled. Paul saying, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's not an accident that, and we miss it. We miss these subtleties in the English language because we just think he's talking metaphorically or something. The days and blah blah. You see how important this is? Does this cement it all this thing that I'm talking about that the day, the last day started at the cross? What you doing it, Gary?
Well, I'm processing this.
How do you process it? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it says the time is fulfilled. That implies that something that had been working for centuries or whatever is brought to full completion because of the birth of, and the work and the finishedness of Christ. And even though we have our time thing, I know that it's a timeless event, but still it took place here in a time frame, and it hasn't changed from this moment. This day and that day are the same day.
Remember? All of the ancient texts say that Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day. When Jesus was born, it was Judgment Day.
But isn't it Judgment Day every day?
You're not hearing me. The time is fulfilled. If it's we've been in the same day, then...
Oh, right.
No. Remember when we study the feasts, Rosh Hashanah is the end. Calls everybody to wake up. Then there's the 10 days of R, the days of repentance till Yom Kippur. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the book is opened. And all those that are in the book of life are safe. And there's only one in that book. And then the days of awe, you remember you impose thine awe upon all creation, that every, et cetera, et cetera. So then the punishment, if you will, is suspended for 10 days to give repentance. Well, that 10 days has now lasted 2,000 years in this context. You got it a little bit, or am I just this? If you think this is just a nice philosophy, then we got a problem.
It's a mercy of God.
Yeah, that Greek word explains. You know, when Peter says this is the last day, starts now, that explains how it can, why and how.
Right. That
word.
What? Somebody said something.
I hadn't heard you say there's only one name written in the book of life. Because Christ says, rejoice that your names are written.
But you don't know what your name is. The name is that's written in the book of life is is those that are in Christ, and we have a new name. It's called the bride.
It's like, yeah, it's his name is in there, and so if our names are in there too, then our name must be his name. Our identity.
We are in him.
Yeah, it's not. There's only one that has eternal life.
He alone has immortality. Do you believe that? Only that which came from the Father can return to the Father?
Everything else is polluted.
All right. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off. And it's what you do. It's casting off a garment. You lay aside. It's of no more use. For any number of reasons. You lay it aside, and that garment is all carnality. All judgments that you make after the senses. You lay it aside. And you put on, it's engyo. It's this great word. It means you sink into, you flow into, you put off, and by the act of putting off, which is true repentance, then you flow into the garment of righteousness. You've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's no effort. That's what endia means. You flow into it. It's like you're flow. Another analogy is it's to all nations flow up to Jerusalem. Well, how do you flow up? That means you have a problem with gravity here.
Not subject to it.
You put on the armor of light. And put the armor just means it's a word, hoplon, which means anything used for a thing. A hammer is a hoplon for a nail. So the armor is whatever is that which is makes manifest his light. So it's putting on the light. Is this?
Yeah, the English language sucks though, because I understand what you're talking about, but there's no descriptive.
Yeah, it almost looks like armor signifies like you're protecting yourself at all, but it's not that at all. It's putting on light.
But it's not even putting on or flowing. It's another word that we don't have, thank God.
All right. Oh, I'm in Mark. No wonder it wasn't there where it's supposed to be.
Romans 13.
So we got in verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, what are the works of darkness? Something you think is bad?
Anything up in here.
We listen somewhere, didn't we? Like in Galatians or something like that.
Yeah, but that's the works of the flesh. I mean, yeah, I mean, we can go there. Let's go there. Go to Galatians 5. It's not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
5:19. That's works of the flesh.
Oh, no wonder. I'm in. I was in Galatians 3 and thought it was Galatians 5. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. Now, walk is a word that simply means you conduct your life. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And again, the only way you walk in the Spirit is abandonment of self, emptying. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And we've studied that many times. So the whole idea, the purpose of the Spirit is to separate Christ in you from the flesh in you. Again, so the salt shaker can have salt alone instead of salt and crap.
I'm thinking this walk in the Spirit, it's like there's two options. You walk remembering every scriptural principle you ever learned, discipline yourself to, it's just all wound up tight in the religion of it, or you walk in emptiness, which is freedom and simple, no burden to it.
Well, it's there's no effort. There's no... You've put off the works of darkness. Because you can't put them off, and you can't take off you can't do all that until you know that it's crap. As long as you think you got really good ideas, and the next time I do it, it's going to work out differently, and then you can't even hear this because your ear isn't circumcised. All right, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as if you remember, we went through most of these, and we found out those are the things that all men do constantly. That's what your mind does.
Yeah. Can't go 5 minutes without half of those popping up.
If you're lucky, you can't go 5 seconds without.
Now, it's the works of the flesh, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's the major difference. It's flowing into Him as opposed to what we do. The works of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nothing can stand against it. Now, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, you have reckoned yourself crucified. You mortify it by constantly reckoning. It's not you don't try to die. That's obscene. You are dead. And the you that you think is you is the usurper that has been masquerading as you for his purpose. And all you can do is self for self, no matter how you couch it. Oh, I'm gonna do some good for people. No, you're not. You're doing it for your own identity. That's why if you do something, you can't be conscious of what it is. Does that communicate?
Oh yeah.
All right.
That you're abandoning a lot.
Well, you have, that's the whole point of this. Whatever you do in thought, in word or in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. Oh, that means you got to do your best. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that you have no investment in what happens.
You do it for Him, it has nothing to do with you at that point.
The moment you have an investment in the outcome, you're doing it for you. And this will, I'll tell you what, if there's anything that will put you on the hot seat in your own self when the fear of God is this, because you when you look at your life and your motivations, you find that's all you're doing. Yeah. What?
Let me ask you a weird question. For example, with Gary Buckner and his business, if he did not do
good job for his clients, then wouldn't he be doing them a disservice by...
Again, it's faith that worketh by love. As long as you're doing business to gain something, then you will always be in the position of egotism, self, for self. If you can see at the core of your being that business is meeting someone's need...
But if Gary did not like or love what he was doing, he would not be successful, and he would not have continued with it.
Well, then he shouldn't have been entered in the first place. If you don't love what you do, you're an idiot.
Well, I agree with you there. But I think Gary loves what he does.
Well, that's fine, but it has nothing to do with Gary. If he loves what he does, he's not conscious of it.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Most people aren't.
Well, then why'd you bring it up?
Because I think Gary was going to take a hit that he really didn't deserve.
Are you going to defend Gary?
And I don't think when it comes to his profession, he's that egotistical.
Well, again, I'm talking about motivation. The moment the motivation comes for personal gain or personal realization, then it's polluted. And if you're lucky, God will cause it to fail. It's whatever you do in thought, in word, and in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. It makes no difference whether you're in a business or you're in a, you know, whatever you're doing.
Yeah,
the moment you have an investment in the outcome, you're doing it for self.
Well, self-seeking has a wider definition than just egotism.
Oh, yeah.
Egotism is like, we have a certain concept of what that is. Self-seeking is like that,
self.
That wide. It takes in, you know, anything having to do with yourself.
All right, Romans. This one's kind of neat. Would you do me a favor, Mr. Would you move over there? Because I can't see that side of the table when you're sitting in front of. And it's important that I see Mr. Bojo.
He reassured me he has to look over at Bojo.
Yeah, I have to look over at I have to look over at John and get a confirmation that I'm doing the right thing.
Okay. Has that worked out?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. And that's probably all we're going to get to. And maybe not even get to that. Walk is this word. It's peripatu. And it means how we conduct our lives inwardly and outwardly. And honestly is a word that just blew my mind. It's yushiman, which means gracefully, stylishly, becomingly. And then it hit me. The day here, again, as it was before, let us walk honestly as in the day. The day is a feminine noun. Day is a feminine noun. And it's in the day of Messiah. So his people walk as if in the same manner befitting their spouse. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Even though it's night, you're walking as if...
You're walking as if the Christ in you knows that you're walking in this way that's befitting the bride of Christ. The bride's conduct and manner is graceful, stylish, whatever, and it befits who she's married to or being married to. That's what that sentence says. Walk honestly as in the day. Honestly, again, it's this word. It's good, it's EU, which means good, graceful, honest, becoming, stylish, which... No, when I first saw that, I said, wait a minute, wait a minute, here.
I hear that word in morning.
Wait a minute. I said, that's not right.
works in that context.
It only has any meaning is as, and because the day there is a feminine noun, then it now it makes sense because it's the bride. Everybody understand?
Yeah.
Well, the question would be, why, if it's the night, why are we talking about, like, walking in the
because
day?
We're because walking as if we are in there.
Right.
Because we have awakened. What?
Well, we've awakened to the fact that we're walking in the day. To the finishness of it all.
Right. We've awakened as if the day had come.
Yeah. We're not waiting for anything. We're walking in it.
The word for walk, I was, you know, they philosophers like Socrates and people in there, they were called peripatetic philosophers because they would walk around and they would philosophize wherever they were. And it's the same kind of an idea. It's like, you know, you're walking, but you're
and it's always without effort.
Right.
If it's true, if it's real, it's walking without self-consciousness.
That's cool.
Anybody not understand? As long as you think about it as you as an individual or an individual, it makes no sense.
Yeah, and this is not something we even do. This is the fruit of the Spirit.
Right. This is what this is a what is instead of a should do.
Right.
And you don't even, you're not even conscious of it. That's the point. The moment there's self-consciousness, then all is lost. Because then it becomes about you. What? You've been strangely silent. Does any of this mean anything? What?
Who told you you were naked?
You're still back there?
No, it's what you just said.
Yeah. Don't leave there.
And maybe what I'm putting together is that if there's not self-consciousness, then there's humility.
There's emptiness, and that which is the true meaning of humility.
It's his humility, not something you've learned how to put on.
Oh yeah, look at me, I'm humble.
Who's the humblest man? Fantastic.
I still like my definition of meekness.
And that would be?
A saber-toothed tiger that walks through the room and doesn't take your throat off.
Yeah, every year it gets worse. You know, it started out as some kind of wildcat or something, and now it's a saber-toothed tiger. I remember there was a guy that used to work with us at the Baptist Standard, and we had a little devotion every week. And he would always end it, you know, sometimes they'd ask other people to pray, different people. He'd always end his prayer with this thing, sort of a formula, and at the end of it, it was like, we humbly beg. It was like, I was going, what? You know, because it's like...
They humbly what?
We, you know...
We humbly beg.
And so he wasn't really asking, he said, we humbly beg. And it was like, dang, you know? Because if you have to say you're humbly doing something, then you're really not...
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird formula.
You remember these in 1 John, the second chapter, it talks about, I wrought unto you, darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. And I wrought unto you, teenagers. When everything is wrong, everything is upset, you're upside down, inside out, but the only thing that holds you, Bible study doesn't help, and nothing helps except you somehow deep within you know the Father. Then I run it to you young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the evil one. Then finally, I run it to you fathers, because you've been with Him from the beginning. Because you've totally lost the identity of you after the flesh, and now it's a different thing. And the father position is the only one that can reproduce. the young man or young adult position can reproduce, but it'll always produce illegitimate children. Does that compute at all? All right, so tomorrow night I'm going to start teaching sort of the basics. And as of right now, we're meeting in the office. If we ever got our living room put back...
Which is a big gift.
No, to put it back, make all the investigative stuff where the school is.
No, I wouldn't fit.
Now watch. See, I put Pete in a trip. Now Pete's going to be worried.
Send me I'm not going to worry at all. I'm not going to move.
You lie. The second you walk out of here, he's going to be like...
Take it, big guy.
No.